And so for me, you know, that's what my latest TED talk is about as well. It's like, how do we break up with work and really find our purpose umbrella so that we can embrace the fact that we're more than one thing?
Hey, friend, it's David Dubinsky here in New York City. So excited for this podcast episode with Samantha Clark. I learned about Samantha recently because of somebody else talking about her and recommending a portfolio career to somebody years ago. And I quickly looked up her work and was really inspired by all the work that she's done around portfolio career. She is an author of a book called Love It or Leave It, where portfolio career is included in it. She's taught masterclasses on how to build and grow a portfolio career. And we talk about a lot about these insights here. She's a happiness consultant and thinks about happiness as an umbrella for the work that she does. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There, you can also subscribe to my one email away newsletter. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Samantha. Awesome. Well, Samantha, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Amazing. And so I'm in New York and you're in the UK, but if we were to go to an event tonight, how do you typically introduce yourself?
Oh, great question. I am a happiness consultant and author of Love It or Leave It, How to Be Happy at Work.
Amazing. Okay. A lot to dive into there. One question I actually was curious about was, and you didn't mention in your introduction, but Drizzy.
Drizzy.
Yeah.
Drizzy, you mean?
Yeah.
Drizzy.
Tell me a little bit more about that character.
So Dizzy is, he is my, I guess, internal gremlin who pops up every now and again when I'm trying to do something big and bold and step out of my comfort zone. And, you know, he or she, different, it changes, it's fluid. And they will just, you know, either ask me questions or put me in a place of imposter syndrome. And it's almost like I have to have a conversation with him and just say, you know, what are you trying to teach me today? Or what should I be learning? Are there any gaps? And so Dizzy over the period of time has been a really good way for me to step into my discomfort and push myself, for me to check where I may have missed a few things. And actually this trigger or this gremlin has been a little voice that's like, have you got everything lined up? Or, you know, are you working the right way? And then sometimes the voice is just, you know, like, I'm here to give you that extra fire and that sauce and to just push you to just be better and not be complacent. So it serves different purposes, different job descriptions, but it is my inner critic, my inner gremlin. And I've just learned over the years to identify great ways to make peace with it and be friends.
Thank you so much for sharing. And I love the way that you label it and put a name to it. Well, so many things that we can't, that we struggle with are the things that we can't put words to. And even more so around imposter syndrome or, you know, fear, uncertainty and stuff. So I wanted to make sure I asked about Dizzy before we kind of jumped into that. And so you also mentioned happiness consultant. So it's really interesting to me is how you've been doing it for 5 or 6 years or so kind of on your own. And you kind of got your start a little bit for working at a tech company. Mm-hmm. Maybe talk to us a little bit of how you were able to work with that marquee client and kind of really launch yourself into that work of happiness consulting.
So I really do believe that happiness is like an ongoing journey, and it has been, I guess, a passion for me to really discover what is my work happiness, and it's taken different forms. And so I think, you know, moving from advertising and branding into making shoes and talking to people and just learning about them and seeing how work was really disrupting and changing and influencing and shaping their lives. And it just took me down a journey of learning and working in new ways in my portfolio. And so I kind of retrained as a coach. I was lecturing at the School of Life. I was still doing a bit of styling and shopping. And then I got the opportunity to work at this tech company. And I think for me, it was two things. One, I just saw lots of issues in the company, and I was just like, okay, so I seem to have like a toolkit of skills. I've got like coaching, I'm learning about philosophy, psychology, sociology, I'm looking at the dynamics, but I've also been speaking to people one-on-one who've come from lots of different cultures, and these are the issues. And so this tech company were entirely remote, and I just pitched the idea. I was like, do you know what? These are the issues. This is what I can do. And this is a solution I think I'd like to create for you. And I said I'd be their head of happiness. And we, you know, said, okay, let's trial it. And I was there for 2 years. And for me, it was a lot of learning around what it is that makes us happy or fulfilled or feel joyful in our work. And how do we manage that remotely, which is so interesting in the times that we're in now. And also, you know, just taking the time to check in with people and to talk to them beyond just the title or the role that they sit in. And I think after leaving there, I was just really adamant that I wanted to help companies and individuals to have better conversations around work and our well-being and career progression. And so I feel like I've always had feet in both camps, working in the companies and working with the individuals, because I feel like it's a two-way street. And so, you know, if you help the company evolve their culture and the ecosystem and the behaviors, and you also help the individuals have a sense of agency and purpose and voice, then we can, you know, galvanize some change.
And so you mentioned about proposing a scope of work or a project that you'd want to work on. Was that, you know, just kind of like an email to the CEO or?
No. there was a night that I organized and we'd all gone to a supper club. And I remember this was the seedling of when I planted the seed, because it's not just, I don't think you can just turn up with a proposal and it works out. I think you plant the seeds, you have the conversations, you build relationships, and there's a lot of highlighting the benefits for them. And we were talking and I just said, you know, I think there are some real gaps in the company. So I was talking to one of the founders, there's three of them. And I just said, there's some real gaps in the company. I think we need to try and do some different things. It's not going to be just smoothed over. The cracks can't be, you know, just blotted over doing this. I think we should try this. And we had a few more of those conversations. And then he was like, okay, well, you know, how do we move forward? And I was like, well, I might just plot it out as a little proposal and send it to you. And then, yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah, cool. I love it because it's also, I think a lot about how like we're kind of like one email away from, you know, a new relationship.
Oh, of course.
And so I was curious as to how that kind of slowly manifested. It seems like there was definitely some, you know, small steps, but a big step within the small step.
Yeah, for sure. Little drip drips. Mm-hmm.
Any other examples of like serendipity and stuff that's happened through like sending that one email that you're like, I shouldn't really do this, but who knows? Who cares? We'll see what happens.
Great question. I think there's just been a few, you know, when you're reaching out to people that you think it'd be great to interview, kind of like, you know, what you said to me, just, I'm just going to fill out this contact form and see what happens. And I think, you know, that's happened when my first season of my podcast, I was really interested in interviewing people with quite provocative views. And I just tested some of my own frameworks around, you know, how do you get in contact with somebody cold and just see if they're interested in a podcast that doesn't even exist from someone they've never heard of. And that's it. And I think it's, you know, part of Dizzy as well, just going, oh, try it. And I was like, okay, cool, tried it. And it worked out. So I think, you know, I love the idea that you say we're never, especially now, I feel like we're so much more connected. And it's easy to just think, you know, we can't revolt, we can't go back to that place before where we were like, oh, it's really difficult to get in contact with somebody, or no one's going to want to hear from me. Or, you know, I think if we approach it in the right manner, we give value, everyone's open to, you know, they're a DM away, they're an email away. And it's up to you to make the effort as well.
Great. All right. So I also, one of the main reasons why I learned about your work is because of how you've been an early adopter in portfolio career, and you know it's in your book, and so your portfolio career coach as well, which is fascinating to me. And so maybe talk to me a little bit about like, what is a portfolio career coach and how do you, usually when you talk to people, it's like, I need to get a job. Okay, cool. Fill out your resume and stuff, but maybe talk to us a little bit about the work that you do as a portfolio career coach.
So there's two ways we can go in this conversation. I think for me, I've always been really interested in cultivating my purpose umbrella. So thinking about being more than just one thing, and also seeing how all my skills were so intertwined with each other. And, you know, through the process of pitching for jobs and pivoting, I was able to say, okay, so this blend of this skill really helps me leverage here. And I'm also really interested in footwear, and I'm really interested in food and this ecosystem. How does this all help you? And so for me, you know, that's what my latest TED talk is about as well. It's like, how do we break up with work and really find our purpose umbrella so that we can embrace the fact that we're more than one thing? And for me, I've always thought of work being like a portfolio, in that the same way that you wouldn't just put all of your money in some really crazy stocks. I think we should think about how our work can be woven through different strands and almost like a solar system. So at the core, you have the sun, which might be your main gig, and it might be, you know, the job that you do, your 9 to 5. And then orbiting around that might be various passions or volunteering or freelancing, or maybe you're starting a business with a partner. And I just think that we have different elements in our portfolio which make us rich, which make us so multifaceted. And this tapestry enables us, and should enable us, to be a bit more anti-fragile, to be able to make money in different ways, to have different revenue streams coming into our life, but also to know that I can love PR, but also want to be a Reiki healer. And I can also maybe just have an umbrella of work like I do. I'm a happiness consultant, and I love talking and helping people make happiness at work a priority, or make a love it or leave it decision. And I do that through podcasting, coaching. I'm an author. You know, I have an online membership. I do licensing in companies. And so it is thinking about just removing yourself from just a really bog standard job title and creating, you know, a statement, a celebration of yourself in a few words. And I think a portfolio career is that opportunity to celebrate yourself, to celebrate all the elements of who you are, and bring that to life in different ways. And you can dial up or dial down whatever you want, depending on the audience you're speaking to, depending on, you know, how you feel in the day. So I think I've always been interested in this idea of a portfolio. And now more than ever, I think we have to be adaptive. We have to be agile. We have to be able to turn our hand to different things.
A celebration. I love this.
Yeah.
And okay, there's a lot there. So purpose umbrella. So if, how do you think people can take where they are now and kind of zoom it out, no pun intended, but kind of take from, oh, I've been doing these kind of things, and then how can they tell themselves a story about the purpose umbrella, or like who they kind of are if they zoomed out a little bit? Any thoughts there?
Yeah. So I think there's different ways that you can do it. One way that I love is to take people, or to get people to understand where they are in their journey of crafting their portfolio career. You know, and what are some of the frustrations that they're seeking? For some people, it might be that they've got no ideas, and some people have got tons of ideas. And so I like to say that it's important to think at the beginning as a purpose seeker, like, what are you looking for? What is that thing that you want to craft? Where is the pain that currently sits in your work portfolio? And how will you start to move through that to acknowledge, okay, I need to make a change, or something needs to give, or I really want more of this in my portfolio? And then you move into the explorer stage, where you're starting to think, okay, I've got a bit more of a vision on what this looks like, but actually, do I have the skills, the strengths, the passions, and the values? Is that alignment there? So it's getting you to really distill in your toolkit, what do I have that exists? How do I leverage that in new ways? Where might I need to gain new strengths? Could I collaborate with someone to partner where I am weak? and what are my actual passions and values? What are the kinds of things that I get lost in and forget to eat during the day? And how does that all sync up to where I think I want to go? And then you move into this place of being the architect, where you've got everything out on the table. And I almost say it's almost like breaking a camera apart and seeing all the different pieces, and you're starting to put together what might be a new camera, because you might leave out some bits and you might realize actually it doesn't function without that, so I need to put that back in, but actually I could remove this other element. And you start to rebuild and hone in and think, okay, what am I going to love or leave behind to make this portfolio career work for me? And then you move into the fire starter stage. And I think this is where people don't do this enough. They don't experiment. They don't do those mini experiments to see what actually sets them alight. And when I think about myself, I used to love, you know, footwear and shoes and things like that. And I really wanted to get into the business. And as I started out, I think I enjoyed more the collaboration and the connection with creative people than sitting and drawing shoes. And so I do feel that when someone comes to me and says, I'm really interested in photography, I'd love to build a portfolio career in that. And I'm like, what is it about photography that you like? Do you like to take the pictures? Do you want to train other people in how to use, you know, old school cameras? Do you want to curate exhibitions? Are you interested in, you know, helping young children understand the beauty of the visual arts? Like, how do you see that on a spectrum? And can you start to gain some experience across these different areas to make your mind up? And then you can start moving into the place where you're thriving and you're starting to see what's working and what isn't. And I think a lot of time when people want a portfolio career, we haven't gone through those stages to really cement what's working, what isn't, what do I need to pull on, how will I start to make money from it? And we just kind of switch immediately. And I think we also have to test the market. You know, what does the market need and want from us? And how do we get better at also selling ourselves? Because if you don't want to talk about what you do or have some anxiety about the fact that you might be a solicitor who also moonlights in the theater, like, you need to be able to be at peace with that.
I love this idea about the fire starter, because you know, I think often people say, oh, you should experiment, but what I'm hearing is you have to start fires. It's not just experiments. It's not just like, oh, let me test this. It's like, you got to put yourself out there, or you got to really maybe do a TEDx talk, maybe write a book, or, you know, just, I think putting the intensity, the wording of intensity around starting a fire, I think is a good way to really look at things.
Totally. And I think, you know, if you don't go for it with that gusto, you'll never know. Because there's a lot of people who, and it's, you know, it's totally understandable, because our gremlin gets really loud, right? It's like, oh my God, what if I go down this? I think I'm interested in wine. And if I spend all of my time doing this and then suddenly it's not right, I've wasted all this money and time. And I think there are calculated ways that we can go and take these adventures and quests so that we can actually start learning about it versus it just being a lofty, I really want to move into that, without any concrete understanding of how that thing fuels you or might change you or who you might interact with that you're interested in. And then you also know, actually, if this fire isn't right, just throw some water on it and move on. Like, you know, keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. And there's more in the satellite, as you said.
Right.
And so that's also about, I think, another, I love the way you talk about these, like, kind of strands. Maybe talk to us a little bit more about what is a kind of a strand within somebody's portfolio career?
So I think in the book, I talk a lot about how to create different strands that do different things. And maybe first and foremost, you need to decide, you know, do I want this to be a bread and butter job that is complemented by a little side hustle that I do? Do I want to use my left and my right brain? You know, am I really interested in coding, but equally I'm a fantastic oil painter? Am I interested in kind of being like me? Maybe I have a theme or an umbrella of what I'm looking for. Or actually, you know, is there a solid thing like my bread and butter or like my business, but I want to create other oscillating things around it? And I think all of this has to come together like a tight piece of rope. And when the strands are aligned, you know, the rope is taut and it's strong. And if it's not, then things start to unravel. And I think we can, when we define our strands, you know, say you want to be a yoga teacher and you're also a lecturer, like, how do you then start to think about making money across those strands? You know, is it going to be me just freelancing in both of these areas? Because then it's like, you know, it's a job, but you own the job differently. Do you want to build a business or be a solo entrepreneur and leverage different systems? Do you want to actually just get jobs in both of those things? And that's fine for you too. Then, you know, that's when we start to break down and really look at how you can start making money. So are you going to look at it from, you know, is it going to, where's the reoccurring revenue? Where is the kind of big star revenue, like big blocks of money that you might get? How do you kind of feed the ecosystem with more learning opportunities or free content, that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. And then also, I think it goes back to what, like the three W's?
Yes. The five W's. Yeah.
You want to talk about those a little bit more?
Yeah. So when we think about the five W's, I get people, one of the exercise, which is about stress testing your strand, is to, and I call it stress testing your strand because I think it's really important for you to see if this is something that has, you know, market opportunity potential, can leverage the contacts you have, can give you that fun, is a skills and strength alignment. And I think when we think about the five W's, I want people to know, who is it that you want to work with? You know, who are your role models? Who are the colleagues you want to be surrounded with? What are the company types you want to emulate? Where do you want to work? You know, is it online, offline? Obviously now everything's kind of very much centralized online. Could you be anywhere doing this work, or must you be based in Amsterdam or London or New York? And then what are you actually doing? Like, when you think about the skills that you're using on a daily basis, like what configuration of those skills are you using? Are you, you know, delivering talks? Are you helping people to kind of leverage information in different ways? Are you an accountant, but you're also like teaching courses? And what is the way in which you're going to do this? And what does that way look like? You know, are you going to be, again, facilitating online? Are you going to be, you know, is part of your week going to be working in a shop Thursday to Saturday, and then you've got Monday and Tuesday to do some other stuff? And then last one is the why. What is your value behind all of this? Because there's no point trying to start crafting a portfolio career if you don't know why the hell you're getting into it in the first place, because it will just unravel.
Mm. And how do you think that those W's have really come into your work recently?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think I've always been quite intentional about how I wanted to work. You know, I feel from a health perspective, I have sickle cell. So for me, I've always been really chasing, like, how do I work in a way that I can leverage my time, not burn myself out, really think about my health. And I also think that it's important for me to be very aligned with my values. I love freedom. I love supporting people to be amazing. I just love coaching in general. And so my work needed to be surrounded by that. And that's probably where I had the initial unhappiness in the jobs before, where I just didn't feel like I was seeing that transformation or helping people. I think another good value of mine is that it needs to be fun, spirited, energetic. You know, nothing that I do is really bog standard or corporate. I think the clients and the customers that I have know that. They're not going to get that from me. And I think it has to be holistic. The mind, the body, the spirit, it's all so interwoven. And I think when we forget different areas in our lives and we don't connect with our body and we don't connect with our mind, we don't connect with our spirit, or we don't connect with the people in our lives, the homes that we live in, the work that we do, when it's all just handled in fragments, I don't think we get full transformation. I don't think we can really tap into our source and be awesome.
Awesome. Celebrating people, lifting each other up. I love this. This is
amazing. Yeah. I love it too. It's why I do it.
Happy people make other happy people.
Yeah, totally.
And another thing I also just want to mention to people through some of the work that I was researching about your book is that
And one of the benefits of the portfolio career is like, you don't have to just like completely pull the trigger and then be trying to figure things out from ground zero.
Yeah.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about kind of transitions and.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think there is so much in the change cycle that we have to understand about ourselves. And I think people think that career change, and that's why I wrote Love It, Leave It, because I love it or leave it even, is that I wanted people to know that it's okay to love what you're doing, but to know that some areas of it feel a bit itchy and scratchy and that you need to work on it, and that you know, you can start building other opportunities in your work portfolio around it. And it's equally okay to say, I want to leave, but maybe I don't want to be an entrepreneur. And that's just not my thing. And so a portfolio career for me kind of straddles that halfway point, or gives you the option to think, could I weave in what I'm doing, but maybe compress my hours? Or, you know, could I move horizontally into a different sector completely, but in the same role, and actually substitute another couple of days a week with something else that I love? And I always say that the past is a place of reference, but we don't need to stay there. And so think about what you can learn about your experiences. Nothing should be thrown away or banished. You should continuously hack your career narrative and really think, what journeys have I been on? What did I enjoy? Was I an active participant in this journey, or was it very passive? How do I make change? And, you know, where do I get stuck? And what opportunities have come my way that I've actually like grabbed with both hands? And where do I get fearful? And I think the more that we can learn about that, we realize that it's not throwing away everything that you've created, because it's part of who you are. And it's part of building on that journey and just leveraging and moving from strength to strength versus just, don't get me wrong, I think we do have to destroy and rebuild some of our attitudes around work if we are to embrace a portfolio career. So we know that it's going to take a bit of us getting used to the anxiety, trying things, getting over the fear. But I think everything that we have, you know, just from a coaching, you know, mindset at CTI, they always say that the individual is whole, resourceful, intelligent, and everything you have is within you. Just need to take time to deep dive and find it.
And that goes back to your TED talk about everybody's here for a certain reason, and it's up to you to figure out what it is. It's there, but we have to do the work on ourselves to understand it and then share those gifts for others.
Yeah. And I want to keep people, you know, even if someone thinks, okay, that's all great, but I still don't know. And it's that question of like, I can't find my purpose. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know, just strip it back and just think, when was the last time you got lost in something? And you just thought, God, I want to go all in. I want to dive into that. Like, sit there. Think about what you were doing when you were younger, and, you know, what excited you, delighted you, what fantasies or inspirations did you come alive around? You know, all the nuggets are there, and just be still with yourself and listen to that. And then also ask people, do an ask a friend survey. In the book, we have a little what should I do survey, and, you know, just send it out to people and get some answers too. So I think that will really help to filter down everything.
Amazing. Okay. Samantha, is there anything else that you think that we missed?
No, just that people should definitely check out my TED talk, Are You Ready to Break Up with Work? And grab the book and just be patient with yourself with it and go through the exercises. Because I do think that one of my favorite exercises is the sweet spot and getting people to really think about, you know, how do the other like quadrants of my life come together? So that's a relationship I have with myself, the other people in my life, the home that I'm living in, and also the work itself. And, you know, asking yourself some pertinent questions, like, you know, of the amount of time that work takes up in my life, like, where am I begrudging certain things, or which relationships have I neglected? Why am I doing that? And I think when we start to look at it as an ecosystem, again, that holistic mix, we can see what's working and what isn't, and then slowly move towards making some changes. Rome wasn't built in a day, so it's definitely a slow, methodical process so that you can have sustainable results.
And at the same time, celebrating yourself along the way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And all the people that you meet on the journey too, from doing those Firestarter emails, getting people, you know, into your world and celebrating with more than just yourself.
Amazing. Well, when people want to celebrate with you, how should they? I know the contact form works. So how would you like people to learn more and celebrate your journey?
Oh, well, they can definitely head over to my website. It's loveitleaveit.co/book. And if you're interested in finding out about the book, you can do that. And then the coaching is just /coaching. On Instagram, I am @SamanthaAnd_ and also @_loveitleaveit_. I love my underscores. And yeah, and then also I have a podcast, which you can find on all podcast platforms, Love It or Leave It, How to Be Happy at Work. My smiley face is there, and you can listen to lots of people who've been through transitions, but also different experts talking about the impact of happiness or impact of technology on our happiness at work, thinking about managers and their attitudes and approaches to culture change, and nutritionists talking about how we can use food to fuel us in our portfolio careers too.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Samantha. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, friend. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Wanted to also let you know about my monthly newsletter called One Email Away, where I fundamentally believe that we are all one email away from new opportunities. And if there's a way that I could potentially help you to connect with other people, I would love to do that. So One Email Away. You can sign up for my newsletter on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. You can also see the One Email Away section. But just want to take this moment to say thank you for listening to this episode. Really excited for us to build and grow our portfolio careers together.